Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south the road to the desert that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. So he started out, and on the way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. Go to chariot, stay near it. Don't just go to chariot, go and stay near it. Hang around with the chariot. Hang around with this guy. It's totally going to change my talk, by the way, in the light of what's just happened. On his way home, as he's reading this book, the Spirit said to Philip, go to that chariot and stand with him, right? Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Simple question, mate. Do you understand what you're reading? Response, how can I unless someone explains it to me? We're living in a world that doesn't understand the Spirit at all. Doesn't really understand Scripture, doesn't understand the Bible, doesn't understand half the stuff. Don't worry, Beth, I haven't forgotten you. Don't worry, we're coming in a minute. Really haven't forgotten you. Really haven't. I know, sorry. Just... No, literally two minutes, and then we're going to go into it. I want you to remember that, and now I want Beth to play. I want you to think of people who just need to hear something. They just need a bit of an explanation. I want us to sing this song, and then we'll see what the Holy Spirit does. The reason why that song, thanks Beth, wasn't she amazing? She's so anointed, isn't she? Come on, give her a clap, isn't she great? She's also very patient, as you just found out. The reason why that song so often catches a chord with people and with all of us is because it resonates with something profoundly deep in our hearts, which is to serve the Lord, doesn't it? It just goes to that really deep place of where you really want to serve God. The question is, how do you do it? And Colin's been taking us through something recently which I found really, really helpful, that came from the Vineyard Boys, from a guy who runs a church in Ireland. And there are four dynamics to spirituality that he talks about. First is social justice. Second is Scripture. Third is the supernatural. And the fourth is salvation. We're going to do a quick spiritual health check. You've got a vote out of 10. 10 is high, 1 is low. Social justice, how's it for you? 1 to 10. Okay? Just make that note in your heart. Just notice that. Scripture, growing in Scripture, honouring Scripture, understanding Scripture. How's that for you, 1 out of 10? Supernatural, how's that for you, 1 out of 10? Salvation, bringing somebody to Christ, revealing something of the presence of Jesus, in some way sharing something of Jesus, not just church. How's that for you? Good question, isn't it? Because when you look at those four things, for me, that is one of the most holistic models of gospel living I've come across in 30 years of studying. For me, it's on the money. Because I see so many Christian organizations that are good at one or the other. So I work with some that are very good at social justice and absolutely pants at the supernatural, being blunt. And I work with others that are fantastic at the supernatural and absolutely pants at social justice. Hello? So for me, at this point in my life, it's about really trying to work out that song we've just been singing. And for me, it's about growing in those four vectors and actually really intentionally focusing my life and just saying, do you know what, in these four fields, I really want to honour the Lord. I really want to honour Jesus in those four fields. I want to be a rich harvest in those four fields of my life. I just don't want to be good at one of them or two of them or three of them or four of them. Do you know what, I want to do the whole lot. And I find that if you're like me, there are times when one field is like really lush and the other is pretty arid. So I want to just think about that for a bit and just think about some of these things and what they actually mean for us. I think one of the problems is for some of us that have been Christians a really long time, if you take the whole thing of Scripture, it's really hard, isn't it? We'll put them all up for you better. Is that working? No. Can you flip all four up for me, Tim? If we take Scripture, for instance, I think this is a really hard one. I'm going to lay my cards on the table. I think when you've read your Bible for 30 years, it's pretty hard to find something fresh. Or perhaps I'm the only one. Hello? So for me, I think very often there's an emphasis around, you know, it's fantastic. Isn't that a brilliant story? She's reading a Bible every day. I'm not knocking it. That is just superb, isn't it? It's great, isn't it? But who after 25 years reading the Bible every day? Not many. Or am I the only one? I've got this great new decorator that works for me, and he's just given his life to the Lord as well. He's got the same enthusiasm. So he asked me these four questions. He said, first he goes, are you born again? So I said, yes, I'm born again. He said, great. He said, are you filled with the Spirit? I said, yes, I'm filled with the Spirit. And I knew the next question was going to come, and I knew he was going to be very disappointed. Do you read your Bible every day? No. Oh. Do you pray? So I said to him, so what is prayer? Probably the answer is yes. Scripture. This is for me what it really comes down to. Is it still challenging me? That's it. Is it still pushing my buttons? Is it still asking, making me ask questions I really don't want to face up to? If it's not doing that, I might as well not read it. For me, it's got to challenge me, it's got to push me. It's got to be the bits I don't get, I don't understand, that I can't quite work out. Could you please explain to me, was Philip teleported or not? I'm not sure if I can quite deal with that bit part of the story, because it appears he was. I'm not sure if I believe that. But I do believe he saved a eunuch who became the father of the church in Africa, and the gospel spread from that eunuch all across that part of Africa, which is actually what happened. That's extraordinary. And they can trace back to this guy. Pretty important encounter, wouldn't you say? So for me, it's about the challenge of Scripture. Is Scripture still challenging me? Is it still shaping me? And can I find creative ways of actually approaching Scripture in how I read it, how I digest it, and how I deal with it? So one of the things I've done, for instance, is I've just started to read my Bible 2 years ago. And I started at Matthew, the New Testament, and I read until I read no more than three chapters at any one time. If I got through three chapters and nothing came and hit me out of the sideline, I went back and read it again. And I waited until I got through the three chapters and got something, and then I moved on. I'm so spiritual, it's taken me 2 years to get to Revelation. Hello? But I feel I've learned something. I'm not just reading my Bible again. Does that make sense? And some days I put it down and it's meant absolutely nothing to me. And sometimes I put it down for 3 or 4 days. But when I've picked it up, there's been some life in it. Does that make sense? For me, it's about there's got to be life in it. It can't just be a ritual. There's got to be some life in it. I've got to find something for me that actually works. And so my question to you, my challenge to you, is this Scripture working for you? Because if it's not, then go and find a way that it is. And by that, I don't mean read your Bible every day necessarily. If you do, that's great. But I think it's really important that Scripture keeps shaping us, shaping our thinking, challenging our views, and framing our world. For me, that's just massive. Social justice. I don't know what's been in your heart this week, but the horrific image in my mind this week has been ISIS. And when I saw those five Iranian soldiers clearly about to be murdered, and the man stabbing them with the gun, and you had the look in that guy's eye, and you could see he thought, I'm going to die. I said to Sandra in the garden, what's our response to that today? What's our response to ISIS? What's our response to extreme Islam? What's our response to alcohol abuse in our cities? The one thing I've learned from hanging around my friend Steve Chalk is this. Everything is an opportunity. That's it. He said to me, "Ah, what goes on is Christians look at these situations and they just don't see the opportunity. They just see the problem. They go from a problem outcome frame, a problem frame, rather than moving to an outcome frame." This is my passion for you with social justice. Find one thing that strikes a chord in your heart. Give yourself to it and make sure there's some sacrifice in it. Just find that one thing that for you, it cuts it. Whether it's Wycombe, whatever it is. And just don't try and do everything. But let's just find one thing. Just one thing that we don't have to fight to do. It's not a striving to do because God's placed something in our heart. We're compassionate about that thing. Yeah? We're moved by that thing. So if you're like me and you see ISIS and it just touches you. So the thing I'm, as John knows, I'm grappling and think about a lot more is the trafficking of children. I'm beginning to feel that's the next thing that the Father has for me. But I'm letting it grow in my heart. Does that make sense? I'm not rushing into it. And there are times I don't feel very strong about the issue, and other days I do feel strong about the issue, but I've just had this little nagging thought back here that, Al, this is your next little thing that Father wants you to really have a pop at. Child trafficking. Now, I might stand up here a year later and tell you it's something else. I'm being really honest with you, my mates, but I just want to pursue something of God's heart for the poor. So I've got to find just one thing that I can do that in some way brings Jesus. Yeah? That's just where I'm at the moment. So then we talk about the supernatural and we talk about salvation. And I'm going to put those two things together for a moment. Tim, can we go on to this first, next, after these two, go on to the first slide? Some of my friends know where this is. It's Ali here. Oh, they're not here. This is Tobago Keys. This is in the Caribbean, and it's probably my favourite place in the whole world I've ever been to. It's just stunning. What colours do you see in there? Come on, what colours do you see? Blue? Blue, green? Purple? Aqua? Yeah? Paul Ratton, where is your favourite place in the UK? Come, give it to me.
My very favourite place is probably in the UK, on top of one of the mountains.
What colours are there?
Oh, so greys, greens, browns, blues, white in winter.
Different colours. God doesn't paint with the same brush wherever he goes. When God paints in the Caribbean, he paints with a blue brush. When he paints in Lake District, he paints with a grey-green brush. When God paints in your life, he might paint with a blue brush. He might paint with a grey brush. He might paint with a burnt orange Sienna Desert brush over here. So is the God of creation going to paint the same way in your heart? So the key is, understanding the landscape that you fit in, understanding the colours that work for you, understanding the place where you really feel at home, where you are really naturally who you are in God, and knowing your spiritual landscape, and knowing the place where God really wants you to be. And I've stumbled across a little thing here that has just helped me. So I wanted to share it with you, and then I want to tell a story at the end as to how this has come together in my life, and then I'm done. So let's go to the first slide. Have you noticed how there's lots of lists in the Bible? Loads of lists. And often the lists have significance because the order of the list is important. You know, like the 12 disciples, you know, it actually breaks down to four groups of three, and the three primers are the leaders of each of those four, I don't know if you know that, but that's traditionally how it works out. So this is a list, an interesting list. This list is about the fruit of the Spirit. The thing that still blows me away is this. The guy that made Tobago Keys put that in me. He made me the tree of fruit. And it's not to do with who I am. It's not to do with how good I am, how great a Christian I am, how anything. It's just the flipping fact that I'm his fruit. I'm his child. It just is. And I think sometimes we lose that sense of the incredible supernatural thing that Christ has done when we became Christians. That the Holy Spirit came inside of us and the God of all creation came and dwelt within us. Yeah? And he's still there right now. Right now, he's right inside of you. No matter how close you are, how far you are, right now, he is right inside of you. And right now, whether you like it or not, you can't virtually stop being at this tree. So this is what I do. I look at that list, and I have two reactions. One lift is, I'm absolutely stuffed. Or am I the only one? I look at that list, and I think, oh, my dear. Have I got a long way to go? I like self-control. Oh, dear. Yeah? Or am I the only one in this room who thinks like that? Let's reframe it. God loves me. I'm his kid. What is it that I think I actually do fairly easily? Do you know what? I think I do kindness quite well. I think I do kindness and love quite well. That's my story. So this is my question to you. Of that list, what do you do quite well? Come on, let's shout it out. Let's not have Christian embarrassment at being good. Come on, what do we do well in this room? Come on, come on, come on, come on. You do goodness well.
So.
What are you doing well in it?
You do joy.
She does do joy really well, doesn't she? I think she does joy great. Wish I could do joy as well as she does. Paul, what do you do well?
Goodness.
He does goodness well. That's good. Beth, what do you do well, along with patience, which we would exhibited very well in this meeting? What do you do well, darling?
Why are you picking on me today?
Forbearance, and you do forbearance really well, then.
Yeah, go on then, forbearance.
Forbearance. So you think of the thing that you do well, okay? I want you to really register this. Just think of a couple of things that you naturally do really, really well. You don't have to strive at it. Okay, you've worked it a bit, but if you're really honest, you do that quite well. Now let's go to the next list in Scripture. Now to each one is given a message of spirit for the common good. For who? For the church? Nat, nat. For the body of Christ? Nat, nat. For common good? Mankind. Hello? Doesn't say for the church. Paul uses the term church many, many times in Scripture. Doesn't use it there. Uses for the common good. Therefore, implication is, this really is for the world out there. Not for us in here, primarily. So I go through my list, and I go, what am I quite good at? Well, I think I'm all right at prophecy. I think the message of knowledge, or the word of knowledge, in other words, having an insight for somebody, seeing something prophetically, I think I'm quite good at those two things. So what are the things that people are good at in this room? Let's ask, because they're the guests, let's ask Julie. You knew that was going to happen, didn't you? Go on, Julie, what are you good at?
She had half of the rest of the first list.
She had half the rest of the first list. Well, just give me one, just one, help me.
Oh, faith.
Faith, you're good at faith. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Russ, what are we good at?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
He's good at faith, as you can tell.
Well, I'd have to probably say faith as well, but...
I like the answer. Yeah? Peter Hopkinson, what are you good at?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. That's interesting. Anthea, what are you good at, darling?
Healing.
Healing. That's good, isn't it? Let's go to the third list. So, I'm going to reframe this, because we have connotations around these worlds. Rather than apostle, think builder, strategist, person good at the large things, knows how to put structures together and lay foundations in. Think Mr. Grant here. Think CEO. Think structural thinker. Think Mr. Richards here, for instance. Think people that think like that. Think well-structured. Think Sandra. Think people that think well-structured like that. Prophets, people that see, people that have insight, that just see things, that often are better working with the long range, better at seeing in the future and living out there. Find it quite hard to live in reality, giving away too much now about myself, aren't I? Right, teachers, those who know how to structure a talk. Yeah, so teachers, miracles, healing, helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. So I'm a prophet. I'll go on that one. So go back to the first one, Tim. This is what I've worked out to do. I'm just going to bring kindness. I'm just going to bring a word of knowledge, and I'm just going to prophesy, because that's what I do. I'm not going to worry about all the rest. I'm just going to do what I do. But boy, am I going to work at what I do. And am I going to refine it and take it to the Father and ask him to shape it and craft it? Am I going to study around that? Am I going to work my socks around it? You bet I am. For me, that is a great way to live. Because for me, what it says, guys, is this. It says, I know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit resides in me. And I have an expectation that God will use the fruit in my life through his grace. Yeah? I believe that God is going to use me to manifest himself into this culture. I just believe that, yes? And I believe that he's going to use the structural gifts he's placed in the body of Christ to do that. Yes? That's what I believe. One story, and I'll finish. Permission being given to tell this story. I'm meeting this friend again on Monday. Her name's Michelle. She's a single parent mum. And we meet in a commercial context where I am doing a one-to-one with her in a situation helping her build the brand for her company. I've done a workshop and they break and we do one-to-ones. And we've done the brandy bit. Not as comprehensively as Sandra would do it, but we've done it. And we've done the brandy bit, and we've got... That sounds like a drink, done the brandy bit, doesn't it? I just realised that. We weren't drinking brandy. We were just... Anyway. So that wasn't going on. So we've done this bit, you see, and I just say we've got 15 minutes left, and I just say, I tell you what, I said, we've got 15 minutes left. I said, would you mind if I did a bit of coaching with you? She said, no, I'd love it. She said, Alan, it's just been such an amazing session. I really feel I've connected with you. I said, yeah, well, I really feel I've connected with you. This is great. And by the way, I've got the guy sitting next to me, who's my client, who I found out afterwards is a born-again Christian, but I don't know this at the time, which is quite extraordinary. So he's actually monitoring what I'm doing in this session while I'm doing this, by the way. So I said, Michelle, so can I ask you a question? I said, we've been talking a lot about your business and all you're doing. I said, it's just a really simple question. I said, how come you are so stunning at being, at doing, and so very poor at being? And tears start to roll in her eyes. She said, I didn't realize getting this along with branding. So I said, well, just be present with that. And then I just created space for the Holy Spirit to move. Didn't give her loads of answers, didn't give her lots of solutions, didn't get into a dialogue, just created space and prayed and just said, Father, for goodness sake, turn up now, please. And there's a lot of this going on. And then she said, Al, how do you do being? So I said, well, now we're going to draw another line, and the line of spirituality, and if you want me to stop, just raise your hand and I stop. If not, we carry on. So she said, okay, we'll go there. I said, good, we'll just be quiet for a moment, just be present, which is another way of saying just be still and allow the Holy Spirit to come and hit you again, really, is what it really means. And so we just let her be still for a bit. And then I just said, Michelle, love, you need to understand all my being comes out of knowing that I'm loved by a Father unconditionally. And so I don't feel I've got anything to prove. Can you tell me more about your father? Yeah, I can. I'd like to talk to you about his son. His son came for you. Draw a line. We go away two or three weeks later because she wants to do some work with us. And we meet at the hotel in London, the hotel lobby in London, having coffee together. She gets out of the taxi, walks up the steps, says, hi, Al. And the first thing she says is, find me a church. Find me a church. More conversations, more phone calls, more encouragement, more networking her in, trying to find a way of her working into Oasis and stuff so that she can discover more of Jesus. Then I get this text, and it's just extraordinary. It's something like this. It goes, just can't believe how good it is just being and not doing. So grateful you came into my life. So excited about meeting you and Sandra and you becoming my friends and us all working together. Yours, Michelle. She's just an Ethiopian eunuch. She's just somebody who just needs to be looked after a bit, cared for a bit, and loved for a bit. I'd like us to close our eyes. I just want you to think about the fruit that the Holy Spirit has placed in your life. I want you to thank God for what he has done in your life. Thank him for the wonderful fruit he has placed in your life. Then I'd like you to think about the gifts he's given you. Perhaps it's the gift of wisdom. Perhaps it's the gift of knowledge. Perhaps it's the gift of healing. whatever that gift is, I'd just like you to thank him for that gift. And then finally, I'd just like you to think about the field in which he wants you. Is it a building field? Is it a seeing field? Is it a teaching field? Is it a caring field? Is it a sharing field? Is another way of viewing it. Because we get caught with words. Now, I want you to think of somebody that you can go and share that with, what God's placed on your heart. And if you get somebody, I'd just like you to stand now for that person and to decide to exercise those things. Thank you. If somebody's standing, would you just like to gather around them? These people are all standing, just gather around them, one or two, three, and just pray. Holy Spirit, we ask now that you will fill them with your Spirit for these people. Holy Spirit, baptize them in your power and in your love and in your compassion. Fill their hearts to overflowing. May their prayer life change. May they grow closer to you, more in touch with you, and more able to hear your voice. Beth's just going to play for us whatever she feels led. And we can just allow the Holy Spirit to move and then hand it on to Karen. It's a real God moment. That song's got something really on it. I just think God wants to go deeper. God wants to take more risks about sharing about who we are and what we are. I think too often we've couched it in this happen to be an evangelist or happen to be a prophet or happen to be a healer or happen to be a whatever. And do you know, I think it's acts of kindness that win hearts. I really do. I think it's the small acts of kindness that change people's lives. It's the decisions just to do somebody else's shopping. It's building on those acts of kindness. It's building on those things that we do so naturally, whether it's reading or praying or, you know, whenever she plays, the Holy Spirit turns up every time, doesn't it? It's just extraordinary, isn't it? It's just what she carries. She can't stop it. So I want us just to make that leap in our hearts today and to say, do you know, I'm not going to look at the waves that are coming. I'm just going to look above the waves and I am going to go out deeper and I'm just going to start taking some risks in my conversations. As my friend Miriam says, there's always that risky moment where you mention Jesus that it's just the embarrassing moment. It just is. It just is. I'm sorry, but it is. It was risky when I said to Michelle that line. I thought, she's going to think I'm weird. That's what I thought. Well, I know I'm weird anyway, but John, trying to say, just being honest with you, it was that weird moment that we all have. But there was something about pushing through and just seeing it. I met somebody last Friday, went out for a dinner party. Sit down for a second. And 22 years ago, 25 years ago, I went out for a pub lunch with a lady called Jane who was trying to flog me some stuff. We went out for lunch together and we hadn't met again for what, 20 years, son? 20 years. We hadn't met for 20 years. Okay? We get this email, comes across. My name's Jane. I'm Jane. Can't remember her married name now. I was Jane Meredith. I'd love to reconnect with you. Could I see you? Comes around for a meal. And it turns out, without really knowing it, over that lunch I led her to the Lord. I didn't really know I'd done it. I just thought I'd told a few stories and we'd had a glass of wine together, and she came back into our church, and Joanna Swinbank and Maynard really looked after her. She really loved my dad and spent some time talking to my dad. Came to a couple of our meetings. Got saved. 20 years later, she reconnects. The life is extraordinary, what's happened to her. And she tells story after story after story of people she's led to Christ. She was in a big church in Singapore, the largest Anglican church in Singapore. 800 people in it. She was head of mission and evangelism. Hello? Do you know, I'm so glad I took that risk in the Thatcher pub in Ascot. I'm so glad I took that risk. And so I'm going to tell you, every time I see it, it just gets to me. Because it's taught me a lesson. When you save somebody, you save them. I know you can drive theologically, drive, catch a horse, but just hear my spirit. When you save them for eternity. And you save the course of their life. And something takes place that's so profound in the spirit. It's extraordinary, and you never know who you've touched. You never know whether it's a Philip the eunuch. You just don't know. Father, help us to go deeper into your waves and just to really walk with you. Amen.